You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up later, we'll find out how Wisconsin became the worst state in the nation for black incarceration.
Right now, we're 75 days away from the November general election when people head to the polls to cast their ballot for Democratic nominee Hillary Clinton, Republican nominee Donald Trump, or a third-party candidate.
While polls put Clinton in the lead against Trump, she doesn't necessarily have a lock on the election. But both candidates are struggling to appeal to younger voters, and more conservative-leaning states are having more competitive races, maybe due to Trump's candidacy.
Joining us now with the latest in national politics is Harry Enten. He's a senior political writer and analyst for 538.com. Harry, welcome back. Well, let's start off with the latest polling numbers. Where do the candidates stand right now, national and maybe key states, too?
Sure. I mean, look, it's basically the same story. There has been some tightening in some national polls, although, you know, it kind of differs. You look at one poll, it shows one thing. You look at another poll, it shows another. Our 538 polling average right now, a projection of where the popular vote will end up on election day, is about a 7-point win for Hillary Clinton. And that's in large part because of her leads in a number of swing states where we have a lot of polling. So, for instance, in Florida and Ohio, she has clear leads, 4 to 5 percentage points. And if you look just across the board, you just see a whole bunch of leads for Hillary Clinton, so that if you add up all of the state polls and you weight them by population, you get to Hillary Clinton having a lead of about 7.5 points. And historically speaking, that's actually been a more accurate way of projecting the national vote than just looking at the national polls.
After the convention, Hillary Clinton had a big jump. The question then was, okay, is this just a temporary post-convention bounce? It seems like the bounce has stayed up pretty high.
It stayed very high. I mean, look, there hasn't been any clear evidence to me that there has been much of a receding of that bounce. When you just look at the favorable ratings for Hillary Clinton, for instance, in Gallup, which tracks it daily, you see that, in fact, she is basically staying in the low 40s, which isn't great, but Donald Trump is stuck in the low 30s, which is far worse. So to me, if you just look at it, there really hasn't been much. That bounce is more, not even just a bounce, it's a new plateau, you might say.
That said, you wrote a piece along the lines of Hillary Clinton hasn't won yet. Democrats, don't get too comfortable here. There is still time for things to change. What are you looking at?
I think, you know, if you just look historically where things are at this point in the campaign and where they've ended up, there have been some campaigns where things do change. 1976 is an example, 1980 is another example. Even in 1996, the polls ended up being way too generous to Bill Clinton at this point from where the eventual margin ended up. That said, people who are ahead at this point usually win. Hillary Clinton's got a good lead, but it's not a lead that guarantees her a win. It just means she'll probably win about 90% of the time or 85 to 90% of the time.
Is there a case to be made that Donald Trump has not yet begun to fight? We're just now seeing ads starting to be run by the Trump campaign and the Republican National Party?
Well, I mean, what type of campaign is he running then? This is just like the funniest thing in the world, right? It's that, look, he's been the general election, the Republican nominee since early May, and all of a sudden now he's just starting to fight? You know, one of the things that I think is very clear from the polls, if you look at the different states, is yes, Hillary Clinton is leading in the swing states. But even if you look at the states outside of the swing states, states where Hillary Clinton hasn't shown any ads at all, and you aggregate those together, they point to the same margin of victory for Hillary Clinton as do those swing state polls. That is, she is comfortably ahead. And while I have no doubt that the swing state polls reflect Hillary Clinton's large advertising edge, Donald Trump has a lot of ground to make up in these swing states, and I'm just not sure that even just coming in at the last moment like this, even if he closes a little, would be enough.
Do we have an idea that at this point in the race, a large percentage of the population has made up its mind, it knows who it's going to vote for?
Yes. I mean, look, most people know who they're going to vote for before they even hear the candidates, right, because most people vote along party ID. But that being said, we do know that a majority of voters at this point hold a very unfavorable view of Donald Trump. I think the average in the three most recent national polls that look at, you know, how many people have a very unfavorable view of Donald Trump, I think it's like something along the lines of 52%. That's a very, very high hill to climb, because that essentially means he has to win everybody else or start winning people who really, really hate him. And most voters at this point say they're not willing to vote for Donald Trump. Could he win? Of course he could win. We can't dismiss anything. But if you just look at the different metrics across the way, it just is a very, very tough hill for him to climb.
You wrote another piece on 538.com about Donald Trump's impact on the electoral map, if any. And we've heard the case from Donald Trump himself saying, hey, I'm going to bring states into play, usually Democratic states. I'm going to bring them into play, have a shot at winning them. Some analysts said, well, Donald Trump, none of us predicted what happened in the primary. Maybe he could shake things up like that. When you look at what's happening in the polling in states around the country, battleground or not, what are you seeing? Is there a Donald Trump shakeup effect here?
Well, if you look, most of the states that were the swing states last time around are still the swing states this time around. There's not much of a difference of what's going on in terms of where the states are lining up. The difference, the key difference, what we're seeing is there's much more of a compression. That is, the states that may have gone for Barack Obama by 15 percentage points are still going Democratic, say a state like Maine, but instead it's going for Hillary Clinton by 10. If you look at a state like South Carolina, that went for Mitt Romney by 9, 10 percentage points in 2012. This time around is going for Donald Trump, but only by 2 percentage points. So we do see pretty much the same states are red that were red and the same states that were blue, but we do see some tightening margins.
Let me throw a hypothesis at you there. Maybe that means that on both sides there's less enthusiasm for the candidate, less enthusiasm among Republicans for Donald Trump in those red states, less enthusiasm for Hillary Clinton among Democrats in those blue states?
There's some of that that's going on. I think that's sure. But I think what's also going on is there's been a little bit of an upsetting of the apple cart in terms of what the coalitions are exactly are. So I think that Donald Trump is doing much better among white voters without a college degree in the North, while Hillary Clinton's doing much better among white voters with a college degree in the South. So that allows those margins to tighten up. And so I think not everything is going along the same partisan ID lines, although I will say that certainly for Donald Trump there is less enthusiasm than there was for Mitt Romney 4 years ago, and I think that's a lot of the reason why you see so many undecided voters in a state like South Carolina, where right now the race is close to being pretty even.
Talking to Harry Enten from 538.com about the latest in national politics and the presidential race. One group that is not very enthusiastic in this election, according to polling you've looked at, Harry, younger voters. What's happening?
Well, essentially what we see is that Hillary Clinton is leading with younger voters, but with 40% of the vote. That's significantly lower than Barack Obama last time around, who got about 60% of voters under the age of 30. Does that mean Donald Trump is doing any better than Mitt Romney? No. In fact, what we see is Donald Trump is probably going to get the lowest percentage of voters under the age of 30, at least since we have records going back to 1952. What's going on instead is that these younger voters are either saying they're undecided, or both Jill Stein and Gary Johnson are getting greater than 10% of the vote among those voters 18 to 29, which to me is fascinating, because you would think, and Democrats have argued for a long time, that as the younger part of the electorate becomes more diverse, it would be good for them. But in fact, that's not happening at all. These younger voters are seeming to say, you know what, screw both major parties. We're going to look for a third party option.
Is some of that the Bernie Sanders voters we've been wondering about for so long? Harry saying, we're younger voters. We like Bernie Sanders. We don't like what happened there. We're looking elsewhere.
It could be that, of course. It could be the maybe have the relationship inverse there. Instead, people were going for Bernie Sanders because he was independent, and instead of saying they were going for, instead of saying now they're not going for Hillary Clinton because they don't like what you did to Bernie Sanders. In fact, they may have gone to Bernie Sanders in the first place because they wanted a more independent type of candidate. And so, you know, it's a tough thing to exactly figure out. But what we do know right now is that both Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton have their hands full with younger voters.
I wonder if this is a problem for the parties, for partisan politics, or if this is just the unique nature of the two candidates running, with both with high negative ratings, particularly in the case of Donald Trump.
That is the million-dollar question, isn't it? Is this election merely just a dot on the long sort of road ahead, and then 2 years and 4 years from now, everything else is going to remain the same? Or is it the case that this is a turning point, and maybe what we had thought of becoming an increasingly polarized electorate will not be the case as we go forward, as younger voters say, you know what, we're not going to vote along the same lines as everybody else, and things are changed? I don't know the answer to that, and I have learned this election cycle not to try and make predictions too far into the future, let alone years from now.
a chat you had at 538, you and the gang there, looked at the Hillary Clinton candidacy and trying to answer the question, is she good? Is she a good politician? That's why she's winning. Or is she lucky? What were some of the things you were weighing back and forth? And a lot of the people seem to say a little of both.
I think the things that you're weighing back and forth is, look, Hillary Clinton has a 40% favorable rating, and yet she's winning this election when no one else in her position has ever won an election before, at least that we have on record, at least presidential elections, because Donald Trump is so disliked. So that would suggest she might be lucky, or the fact that her only opponent in the Democratic Party was Bernie Sanders, who, while a lot of voters may have liked him, really, you know, was a socialist and was always going to have a difficult time connecting with the middle of the Democratic Party. However, at the same time, look at Hillary Clinton's electoral record. The only election she's ever lost was to Barack Obama, and she actually got more votes in that primary than he did, and Barack Obama is arguably the greatest politician of this era. At the same time, she was able to ensure that no one else ran against her in the Democratic primary because she got so many endorsements so early on. And then finally, I just point out, look, Donald Trump faced off against 16 other Republicans, and they all lost. They all lost to him. And Hillary Clinton, for better or worse, is crushing him right now. So to me, I think it's a little bit of both.
It all raises an interesting alternate history. What would Hillary Clinton's campaign be looking like if it was one of those other 16 candidates, or maybe 14 or 15 of them? Ben Carson might have been a different situation.
I always was looking forward to the matchup between Hillary Clinton and Bobby Jindal. I don't know about you, but look, if she had faced off against John Kasich, my guess is this race would be closer. I don't think Kasich would necessarily be leading, as some of the hypothetical polls indicated, but I do have to think that the race would have been closer for no other reason than it probably would have been more of a generic Democrat versus a generic Republican, and right now the economy is doing okay but not great, and that would indicate a much closer race than the polls right now do.
Hey, Harry, I saw you retweeted somebody else's rating of a bunch of Senate races around the country, a hot contested Senate races people are keeping an eye on. Wisconsin's wasn't one of them. What do you make of that?
Knew it wasn't, and the reason it wasn't was because Russ Feingold is so far ahead in the polls right now. You look at that Marquette poll, there'll be another one in another week. My dear friend Charles Franklin, who may be listening right now. Hello, Charles. If in fact, we continue to show polls where Russ Feingold has a high single-digit or perhaps even a low double-digit lead, that's by far one of the largest leads of any of the races that are out there, and certainly the largest lead a Democrat holds over a currently held Republican seat.
I wanted to ask, I hear you had a run-in of sorts with former congressman, disgraced, and then New York mayoral candidate Anthony Weiner. What happened?
Let's just say Anthony and I, we got together. No, I was doing a little television shoot in New York, and he knew that I had gotten a new cell phone because I think he listens to the podcast that we do, the 538 Politics podcast, and he asked me to look at it because he knew that my old phone was this sort of unique phone, and he took a look, and he said, nice new phone, but it seems a little bit much to me. Granted, I must admit that I'm not sure I'd necessarily take cell phone advice from Anthony Weiner, given his history.
Right, or lend him one's own phone.
I think as long as I saw it when it was within my sights, that was okay. I just didn't want him to take it to some place where I couldn't see him.
Well, that's a good policy, Harry. Thanks, as always.
Thank you.
That's Harry Enten. He's a senior political writer and analyst at 538.com. He joins us every week at this time to give us the latest in national politics and, of course, the ongoing presidential election campaign.
Coming up after the news, we'll find out how Wisconsin became the worst state in the nation for black incarceration and what, if anything, can be done about it. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Stick around. There's more to come here on Central Time. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.